we're gonna leave.
Bye-bye. Right. Hey, Jerry, can you hear me okay?
I hear you. You hear me?
All right. I can. Give me 1 second. I'm gonna get you spotlighted. It's your Alrighty. Well, thank you for taking some time with us. We are now joined by Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford for Team Penske, and our second place finisher. Joey, we will get right into questions for you. Let's kick things off here with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Joey, I mean, did you just kind of run out of laps? I mean, with the tire situation you were in?
Yeah, just too many laps. Hoping when the pace car was slowing down, he was, you know, trying to clean up the mess, off of turn three. And he's slowing down. I'm like, keep up the speed, but I need to click off as many laps as possible. And, it's honestly, that's what it comes down to, is one lap. It could have made the difference. So, you hate being that close, but at the same time, I look at, you know, where we've come from and, you know, we had a really solid race. We were two solid stages, second and a third in the stages, and then, you know, a second overall. I mean, it's a great day. Anyway, look at it. It's just getting past coming to the white flag stings a lot. Congratulations to Christopher, obviously. It's his first win, and, you know, that one's very special, and, you know, the way he did it was very impressive. Just stings a little bit for me at the moment, if I'm being honest, but, they had a great car. They were able to hang with the nine. It seems like, the Gibbs cars definitely have made a substantial gain on keeping up with the nine. And I feel like we've made a gain as well, but we're still a step behind on the long run. So our short run speed is very competitive. Our braking is competitive. We just fall off on tires too hard. So just got to figure that out. So we have identified the issue. And now it's time to go to work.
And as far as things that stinged, as far as your talk with Brad earlier today, did that go well? And do you feel like you're good going forward?
Yeah, we're fine. We had a good conversation. Everything I'd hoped it would be, very honest and open. And, I think today we were around each other a little bit and we raced each other fine. So I think, everything's going to be good moving forward. So it's a healthy conversation. Probably glad we waited a few days to cool our jets, but ended up, being a productive conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take our next one from Mark Garrow with PRN. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. Congratulations, Joey, on a good run. Just your thoughts on, you mentioned a little bit about getting passed on the white flag. I mean, 2 weeks in a row, you could be 2-for-2. Leaving Daytona and you're not. Just your thoughts on at least being competitive and just how frustrating it is not to at least walk out with one win.
Yeah, I mean, any way you look at it, every race that we've run so far down here, we've been in contention to win. I said it to the guys before the race today, and once again, we were in contention to win. So we're doing the right things. Look at the duel. We almost won the Clash. We finished third. Daytona 500, we're leading on the last lap and crash. And then you come here and you're leading with two to go and get past. So we're there. I think we're doing a good job. When I think of the execution of this race team, we're doing all the right things. We just got to get a little bit faster. That's the biggest thing that I see right now. So not that we're far off, right? I mean, we're right there in the hunt. But I'd say we're outperforming the car at this moment. So we just got to get our car a little better.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Joey, obviously the race changed big time when there was a caution for the rain or drizzle or whatever. And then there's also, a lot of times this weekend through, not just the cup race, but multiple races where, we saw cautions that might have been like local cautions in road racing series, but, it's a full course yellow here. There's so many more road course races this year. Are you comfortable with the way that it's being officiated now? Does NASCAR need to look at doing, a different style cautions for these races?
I don't know exactly what you're talking about. I honestly was fortunate today and didn't get around any crashes to see how bad they were or anything like that. I will say I was up in the booth yesterday for the Xfinity race with FS1, and I didn't see anything that would stand out to me that they needed to officiate it differently. There's times that cars spun out and they get going and there wasn't a caution. There was time there's debris on the racetrack and you don't really have an option. You got to throw the caution. So I don't see where you can do anything else, right? If there's a car in the barrier, what are you going to do, right? I mean, if it's stuck there, you're not going to throw the wrecker out there where all of us are still wide open. That doesn't work for us in this series. I think everyone's just so aggressive trying to get what they can. I don't know if local cautions really even do anything. So I think they're doing the right thing. I didn't see anything that stood out to me. Like I said, I haven't rewatched the race, so we'll put an asterisk next to it, but I didn't see anything at the moment.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Alex Andreev. Go ahead.
Hey, Joey, I'm kind of just curious about what your assessment of the road course racing is from kind of like an entertainment perspective and how you feel about having more of them on the schedule, essentially. Is this something NASCAR should keep doing?
Oh, I mean, we listened to the fans. The fans said they wanted more road course racing. Boom, you got it. I hope you like it because we got a lot of it. So, and I think, honestly, it's the right thing for a sport. This Daytona road course actually puts on a pretty good race. You look at the strategy that comes into play, you know, last night, tonight, even in the truck race. I mean, the strategy really is interesting when you have this much fall off and, you know, you have cautions at the end where everyone's just so aggressive trying to, you know, make up all the time they need to make up when they have tires on and they have cars with old tires in front of them. So, you know, I mean, it's fun because not all the time, but more times than not, it's not always the fastest car that wins. You know, you're someone like us today that we almost manufactured victory by, you know, doing something different than the fastest cars. You know, we were a fifth place car and, you know, we had a way to try to win and go for it. And we came really close to it. And that's from the, you know, the calls from up on top of the box with Paul and the engineers up there. So, that's the fun part about it is that it's, you know, you're never really out of it. You can do a lot of things to recover. You look at the top 10, those guys weren't up there all day long at all. I promise you that. So the end of it just became kind of crazy, as you would expect. So, I think this track's great. I'm interested to see what COTA's going to be like. Obviously we know Watkins Glen puts on great races. We've seen Sonoma be great. And we've seen the Roval be entertaining all in the last lap. So it's fun. I like it as a driver. Because I'm not doing the same thing every week. And I like that. I think that's a pretty big challenge for me, but I think it's attractive for the best drivers in America to want to race in a NASCAR Cup Series because you have to be good at everything, including dirt racing now, which I don't know if you're looking at the guy that's great at it yet, but I'm going to try. So I like that. It's very attractive to me.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Joey, what can you say about Christopher Bell? I mean, to win and to have four champions behind him. I mean, when you look at the top five, he's, you know, two races into his second season, and you know what the equipment's like over there, and sure, that's a bonus. But can you just talk about the talent that this kid has?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't think I've seen it until tonight. I haven't raced around him much up to this point. A little bit last year every now and again, but not to this level. And I was hoping, him trying to chase me down, he's going to make a mistake as an experienced race car driver, but you didn't see it happen. You didn't see it with Ty last night either. These younger guys coming in, and not even that Christopher's that young. He just looks like he's really young. But he has a lot of racing experience. I think he's been in these situations a lot where he's racing for the win, whether it's in, those midgets and whatever dirt cars these guys drive. You've seen him, race for wins late in the race. And, that experience probably helped him a lot tonight. So, obviously he's an amazing talent. If you're at this level, everyone's pretty, pretty talented at this point. 30th place is really talented. I promise you that. It's all about putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. And today they did. Adam Stevens, a tremendous crew chief. I worked with him for quite some time over there, and I know what he's got, for a team around him, and he's going to be successful because of it, because of his talent and the talent of the team.
And Kurt Busch mentioned that, you know, had he had time to practice and dial these cars in? I know that, you know, horse has left the building, but I mean, it's, how much would a place like this, you know, how much do you miss practice?
I mean, we all miss it, right? I actually like it. I enjoy practice. It's fun to me. So yeah, we'll have our chance to practice on a road course when we get to Dakota. And up to then, the hard part is when you have, and it's very clear every time we come to road course now, it's been the nine, and then, you know, one step back has been the Gibbs cars, and it feels like the next step back has been, you know, our car with the 22. And, you know, it's hard to make up that ground because you can't just throw the kitchen sink at it because you have a bunch of theories that aren't verified. Right. And then on top of that, it's hard to compare one race to the next because the temperature is different, and, you know, you name it could be different. So, you know, it's hard to make up that difference sometimes because of the lack of practice where you can just AB something and you say, you know, more sway bar or less sway bar, right? What's better. Right. And then you can just, you know, line that up and know, you know, for us, it's kind of, you know, nice that we had the clash last week. We tried some things there. You know, I thought they were better. We tried some, you know, some more this week. We've made some gains again. So as long as we keep being methodical and inching up on it, it's good. But if you throw 10 things at it, how do you know what did what? And like I said, it's too many variables.
Appreciate your time. Safe travels.
Thank you. You too.
All right. And we've got time for one more with Joey. We're going to take our question from David Smith. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Joey, was there anything just from a tangible change standpoint that you made after the clash before this race that you specifically wanted out of your car?
Yeah, I can't tell you exactly what it is, but of course we went to work. Paul found something he wanted to try. I was able to look at a lot of, you know, data from whether it's my teammates or whatever's on SMT. You know, it felt like my biggest weakness was the chicane in the clash. And I feel like today we got close. I know that's where I got passed, but he was catching me a second a lap. I don't know if I could have stopped it, but I feel like we made some gains in that area. Driver changed some stuff, crew chief changed some stuff. And, you know, for that reason, we have better results, but still, like I said, one more step to go to be as good as, the Gibbs cars on the long haul and the nine. And even the five, he was really good today too. Yeah, so there's five or six cars that are a step better, and we'll figure it out. We're the best in the business as well, so we're gonna figure it out, and we're inching up on it as we speak.
All right, thank you.
All right, Joey. Well, thank you so much for taking some time with us. Congratulations on the good finish, and we will see you at Homestead Miami Speedway.
All right, see you down there. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Alrighty, into the media. We're going to be joined here by our race-winning crew chief, Adam Stevens. One second, and we will get him spotlighted. If you have a question for Adam, feel free to get your hand in the queue, and we will get questions for him. Alrighty. Hey, Adam, can you hear me okay?
I gotcha.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. And thank you for taking some time with us. We're going to get right into questions for you, and we're going to kick things off with Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Adam, congrats on the win. For you, how important is it to get off on the right foot and get a win early with a new driver?
Well, it's extremely important to get off on the right foot. You know, we spent a lot of time this offseason talking about building a foundation and scoring some points and getting the finishes that we have coming to us. So I didn't imagine we'd win our second race together, but happy to do so. It definitely changes the whole season and how you approach the season and what your obstacles might be. So now that we have one under our belt, I think we can get a few more.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you, Adam. Congratulations. I got two for you. The caution with about 15 to go, I think it was, for rain. First off, what was going through your mind there in terms of strategy? Because I believe you were one of the ones that pitted for tires, which set you back a little bit, but you were first off pit road.
Yeah, we had, it was after green flag stops, right? And we had five laps on our tires. We stopped a few laps, maybe we had four laps on our tires, but we had stopped two or three laps later than a lot of the cars we were racing. So we really felt like they were going to come. The rain didn't really play much of a factor into the track conditions. It just kind of skirted the track there. So that was good. But, we saw tires be probably more powerful than what you might think. Certainly more than what I thought in the first stage when when I stayed there trying to score stage points and the whole field pitted behind us and we got run over, but we were able to recover from that. But we learned our lesson that if you go a good 5-6 laps, most of the field's going to come get tires. So it was time at that point.
Secondly, you mentioned over the radio how proud you are of Christopher for the work that he's put in. What have you seen from him and his prep work for this season in just the short amount of time you two have been together?
Well, it's just a whole different situation for me, and it's different for him too, but I'm so used to having a veteran, and the things that he knows and understands about racing and race weekends and what makes a team fast, what makes a car fast, are different than what Bell knows and understands. So we have to spend a lot of time talking about how we're going to operate and what makes a good weekend, what makes a bad weekend, and lessons we can learn from. You know, you can learn from bad days just as easy as you can learn from a good day. So you have to be ready to pull those lessons out, and just a lot of time communicating and laying the foundation of for us to do great things in the future. And he's just always available. He is always pushing all of us to be our best. And, you know, that's not different than what I was used to, but just the overall just commitment and availability and willingness and everything that's in front of him, he enjoys the task at hand.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Adam, you talked about just working with a younger driver, and I'm curious about, certainly this is a big swing in a week's time. Last week, the accident, I know it's different style racing, an accident that, you know, he was a part of triggering that incident. So what did you do, or, you know, how do you work through that from, you know, finishing that up off last week and looking ahead to this week, and just the differences in the 2 weeks and working with the younger driver after being kind of in the spotlight for something that they certainly don't want to do, to kind of building their confidence up for something like this?
Sure. You have to keep it in perspective. You know, pushing at speedway races is part of the deal, and knowing how to do it separates cars that win races from cars that don't win races. And I don't think he did anything wrong, but he was a part of it, and you have to learn from it. You can learn from things you do well. You can learn from things that you don't do well. But that's speedway racing. You know, we'll see that every race that we run, as long as we have plates on the cars, and we've seen it every race that we have run. So I think you have to kind of analyze it, which we did, and look and see if there was anything that we could have done better behind the wheel or just that whole weekend in general, and then move on. And that's exactly what he did. You know, once we moved on.
Also, the as you referenced, going for the stage points at the end of the stage one, not working out. How much did that change the strategy moving forward, or would that have changed anyway, as you would have seen the difference that tires made throughout the race, and not just as dramatically as what happened to you guys there?
Well, I honestly expected probably 5 or 6 cars to stay out with us, and I thought that we would be able to hold on to a top 2 or 3 spot, and I wanted the points because I felt like going into the season that it could be very easy for us to get to the playoffs and need those points. So nobody else thought that way, just me. So, you know, we were the only one out there, and it cost us some spots, but thankfully everybody ran hard to the actual stage, and most people decided to come back and put tires on it. Instead of restarting maybe 25th or so, we ended up restarting 16th or 17th, and we're able to make our way up from there. So he just did such a good job taking care of his car on those restarts and minimizing the damage. So we had something to race with at the end.
Thank you.
All right, take our next question from Jerry Jordan. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Adam, when we talked about you pairing up with Christopher last year and everything, you talked about how good he was and how mature he was. On those final laps when he was running Joey down, what were your thoughts on how he handled himself in getting around Joey and through the chicanes and everything else as he finally overtook you?
I don't think anybody could have done it any better than what he did. You know, when we were closing that gap, but we were still 2 or 3 seconds back, I was worried that he was going to press too hard and try to get too much too soon and lock a tire or miss a corner. And he absolutely did not. You know, he stayed right under the limit of his tires and saw that Joey was coming back and got what he could get without pressing too hard. And then when he got close enough, he just took the first available opportunity and didn't have to force it too hard, but, you know, let him know he was there and got up beside him. But just a masterful job of executing those last four or five laps.
Thank you, buddy.
Yep.
Let's take our next one from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Adam, what does this win do for you personally as far as, like, I mean, do you feel any sort of redemption or any sort of extra confidence after maybe the last 18 months?
Wow, I'd have to think about that. I generally don't self-analyze career milestones or achievements, but I can tell you it felt really good. You know, I'm beyond thrilled for Bell and beyond thrilled for all my team guys. You know, it's a complete new over the wall group, and they had phenomenal pit stops today. And you know, the new car chief and we're all learning each other, and everybody's just doing such a good job with such a good attitude. That's what feels good to me. It certainly less about me, but it always feels good to win. It's nice to be reminded that we're doing the right things and we're doing them the right way, and to get that reminder very early in the season.
And how many approvals do you need to allow him to burn down the engine when you're planning to use it again?
Well, you know, every week they tell us if that's an option or not an option. And generally I try to listen to it. We haven't won in a while, so it hasn't been an issue, but we have to rerun these engines and get to our seal count. And that's important. So this engine's on the schedule to rerun again. And that's what the sheet said. So that's what I said. If Christopher, like you would expect, he listens to what his crew chief said and he didn't do it, but I felt bad, but that's what the sheet said.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take our next question from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead. Zach, can you hear us?
Yeah. Sorry about that, Adam. Congratulations on this win. When you look at entering this race today, did you expect a good performance from Christopher today, knowing, you know, he'd had some decent runs in Xfinity on the road courses? I know last year there were only the two road course races, so the sample size in Cup was small, but what did you anticipate from him today on the road course?
I was honestly hoping for a top five. I thought that was achievable. I thought that the 9 would be good and the 19, and I thought we'd be in the mix with probably the next group. And we were a little bit better than what I anticipated, and we didn't make many mistakes and took advantage of everybody else's mistakes. But he was really good in the Cup car at the two road course races last year. Didn't see it in the finish, but in the lap times you could see it, and what he was doing behind the wheel, he was doing a lot of the right things and learning as the races went on. You know, we ran those races with no practice too. So results didn't show it because the pit stops weren't good. And they had some damage early in one of the races, but he knows how to get around a road course. And I will say that is a mark of a talented race car driver that can learn how to get around a road course and finish road course races and win road course races very early in their career. You know, he didn't grow up doing any of that. And to come out here with the best in the business and hang with them says a lot about how talented he really is.
Thank you.
All right. And we've got time for one final question with Adam, and we're going to take that from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead. Jenna, can you hear us?
Sorry. Adam, you said that you thought maybe top five today, but you won instead. When did you think that this team could win?
I knew in the offseason that this team could win, but I wasn't putting any of that pressure on us so early in the season. Like I said, my goal was to build a foundation and show the depth of the team with finishing where we're running and minimizing our mistakes and having solid pit stops and solid weekends. It just so happens that we were able to do that better than anyone this weekend, but the talent's there. You know, a new pit crew coming together and busting off those stops in their second race is almost impossible to do. So the work that they put in is a testament to those results, and no different than with Bell and all of us working together and figuring it out. But I think that having that in our pocket now, it's going to change things for the better going forward and free us up to really push hard.
You've got a playoff berth. If you're a crew chief who doesn't at this time, after two sort of unexpected early winners, do you see the complexion changing for the race for the other 14 spots?
Probably not for the teams that we all expect to win, but for some of those fringe cars, it will. The number of unique winners is really going to change how many cars get in on points, right? It's pretty obvious. So, I'm sure that the 9 and the 19 and the 11 and the 18 and 22 and the 2 are all going to win a race before that time. And you know, some of that next batch of cars is really needing to be thinking about if they're swinging for the fence or if they're racing for points. And, you know, maybe one more winner that somebody didn't expect pretty early in the season could really change the complexion.
Thanks, Adam. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Adam. Well, thank you so much for taking some time with us. Congratulations on the win, and we will see you at Homestead Miami Speedway.
All right, guys. Can't wait. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. And to all of the media, apologies if we could not get to your question, but we will be joined here momentarily by Denny Hamlin. So once he joins, we will get right into questions. Feel free to.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Congrats, man.
Sorry about that. Alrighty, and we are in the process of bringing Denny Hamlin into the room. Let's see here.
I could swear that was Russell.
That is Russell. Let's see. Denny, can you hear me? Oh, I think we've got him. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Give me 1 second so I can get you spotlighted here. Thank you for taking some time with us. We are now joined by Denny Hamlin, and we will get right into questions for him. So if you have one, raise your hand and we will kick it off with Jeff Black. Go ahead, Jeff.
Denny, you know, the caution for rain there really changed the whole dynamic of the race. And there's been some other cautions, you know, whether it's for tire debris or stuff where, you know, in other road racing series around the world, those would be like a local yellow, for instance. There's so many road races left. Do you want to see any change in the way that NASCAR calls the cautions for these races? Are you comfortable with the full course yellows and how they've been doing it like this weekend?
Well, it's tough to me to say because where I'm at inside the car, I don't see the wreck and the severity of it. I don't see the debris always and where it's at. So it's kind of hard for me to say on that. But certainly, you know, we just ask that they're as consistent as possible. You know, sometimes there's a wreck and there is none. I think that they're, you know, at times their patience probably runs out just as much as we do. And they're just like, you know, let's get this, we're done throwing caution. So it's just, that's just part of it. You just never know, but you gotta, you know, deal with the cards that are dealt. Everyone's got the same cards, but certainly, you know, when you have a caution that doesn't help one person or another, everyone's got the same decisions to make whether to pit or not. But certainly, you know, it was pretty wet. I mean, turns two on the big track, it was wet. It was really changing shades. And at that time I probably didn't want a caution. So, yeah, it's tough. All we can ask is they try to stay as consistent as they can, but I can't really speak to any one particular caution that they did or didn't throw.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Alex Andrejev. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Denny. So after having, you know, the clash and then this road course race, I'm just curious about kind of your perception of the road courses and the number of courses on this schedule this year. How do you feel about it?
More road courses for sure.
Is that sarcastic?
I don't know, is it? more of everything.
I'm going to take our next question from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Sorry, bear with me here. Denny, congrats on the good run today. Christopher Bell, of course, has been in the Joe Gibbs system for a while now. To see him get the win today, what have you seen out of him over these past few years to where he is today? And are you surprised that his first win comes on a road course?
On a road course, yeah, I'm surprised, but honestly, you know, he's got an experienced crew chief over there, Adam Stevens. Once he got track position, he was very, very fast. I noticed that he was able to stay honestly closer to the nine car than what I was when he was leading. So, you know, it's he's definitely doing some good things, and he was very, very fast. So it was a well-earned win too. You know, it's not like he backed into it. He had to drive to the front. And so a great 2 days for JGR and really the future of JGR.
And that's kind of the follow-up here is you look at the success that the young guys had this weekend, or at least the newcomers to the sport. What does this say about the future of at least particularly Christopher Bell now that he's a cup winner?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's great for our organization. The more competitive cars that we can have in the Toyota stable, the more information that we can share and it be good information. So it's very, very difficult, as we know in our sport, to have four cars that are all very good and competitive. And certainly I believe that we can have that this year, and it's already starting off really well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take our next one from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Denny, with being around the nine car, did you see anything different in terms of, you know, what he's been able to do last year and even in the Clash and feel like you kind of are catching up, or is there still that gap?
I think I'm catching up. You know, I think I got 20 to 30% there today. I mean, he's still lightning fast. I mean, honestly, never was really, you know, when he got the lead, you know, I beat him maybe a couple laps, but I mean, who knows? He's probably just sitting back and, you know, one-handing this thing, just cruising. Who knows? But I definitely feel like I gained a little bit today, but I still got, you know, some work to do for sure. But, you know, there's nothing I could see, honestly, that was like, you know, earth shattering, that, wow, he's just killing me here. It's a little bit everywhere, and it's just going to take time for me to figure out.
Next road course race isn't for 3 months now.
Shoot.
Is that enough time to get things figured out is it still expect the nine car to be the dominant car in 3 months?
Well, I think how I'll get better is on track time. I think that, you know, the more that we run, I think in general, the more we run road courses, the tighter the field's going to get. Everyone's going to get better. The gap is going to shrink to everyone. You know, Chase to, you know, really, I thought the 19, well, the Chase passed them. So, you know, those two guys got a gap right now to 5th, to 10th, to 20th. That will shrink the more that we do some road racing. But it's, for me, I'm stuck at par right now. Like I can't break par. I'm just right there, third to fourth fastest. And that's where I'm at. So I think, but the more times I run, the tighter that gap's going to get.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take our next one from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Denny, is it a surprise that Christopher won this early?
Oh, I mean, sure. I think today's a surprise. I don't think, you know, who really expected it, right? I mean, I think that, you know, you would say based on history, okay, well, he's definitely could run in the top 10 and top five, but certainly once he got the track position, it was like 3 or 4 laps. I was like, you know, wow, he's got great speed. So it certainly is surprising, but, you know, again, he's got an experienced crew chief there that's been doing this a very long time, who's very, very good. So yeah, I'm happy for them. This is a great step.
And since it is a surprise, 2 weeks, two surprise winners, those are there some teams sort of maybe mid-pack that should be worried about the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think the, you know, the 34 certainly is a surprise. You know, he's going to be in the playoffs. The 20, I don't think, you know, I think you ask 90% of the people that know anything about the sport, they probably, you know, 95 really would probably put the 20 car in the playoffs one way, shape or form anyway. So I don't think that it's, that's really taking up a spot that wasn't already probably pegged.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take our next one from Daniel McFadden. Go ahead.
Hey, Denny. We saw Christopher Bell. He made his winning move on Joey in Oval Turn 3 and 4, and it looked kind of looked like a sketchy moment. Can you describe like what it's like jockeying for position in the oval turns under these circumstances, especially like on Oval Turn 2 where the draft seems to come into heavy effect there?
Yeah, it is. You know, the cars actually have a decent amount of grip on the banking. You know, with us slowing down to such a slow rate of speed before we go on the NASCAR big track, you know, we never really get to a speed where the cars become unstable. You know, it's you know, the banking, it, we can, as you can see, we're going from the top to the middle to the bottom pretty quickly. So anytime you have an excess amount of grip, you can do that. So it's not really dicey. It's more of a, you know, you're just trying to get cleared or you're just trying to get to someone's quarter panel to position yourself to be, you know, side by side in the next corner and make that person make a decision whether they're going to lift or not. So that's the dicey part of it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Denny. Well, that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for taking some time with us. Congrats on the good finish, and we'll see you next weekend.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. And to the media, we are bringing Coach Joe Gibbs and our race winner into the room. So give me one second. All righty. Christopher, can you hear me?
Makeshift.
Hi.
You can hear me okay, Christopher?
I gotcha.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking some time with us. We're here to get Coach Gibbs all set up in his room. Give me one second here. All right. We'll kick things off with Christopher Bell, our race winner. Congratulations. I am sure you're feeling pretty good right now. Can you just walk us through those that final lap for you?
Yeah, the last lap was pretty, I don't know, pretty surreal. You know, all race long, I just kind of felt like I was trying to do my best job at not screwing up and hit my marks and not overdriving the corners. And then whenever I got by the 22 coming to the white flag, I knew that I was faster than him. You know, I ran him down from a while back. So all I had to do was just get a couple of good corners and get away. You know, the last thing I wanted was coming down to the checkered flag with him on your bumper. And then you have to make a decision if you try and protect or if you just try and race the racetrack. So yeah, I was really thankful that I was able to get away there through the infield section, because I felt like that was my better part. And then the chicanes were my struggle points. So I definitely didn't want him on my bumper going through the chicanes.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take some questions here for Christopher. Let's see here. Let's kick things off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Christopher, can you describe what last season was like not having a win? And is today more relief or excitement getting this first win?
Yeah, I'd say, Bob, that this is all of the above. This is the happiest moment I've had in a very long time. You know, 2020 was one of the hardest seasons I've ever had in my racing career. You know, I think I won a race at the Chili Bowl on my prelim night, and then that was it for the rest of the year. So that's obviously up against the Cup guys and on the dirt side too. So 2020 was a really, really low point for me. And just to come back in 21 and be able to win in the Cup Series this early on a road course is, you know, something that I'm going to cherish for the rest of my life. And I just can't wait to see what we can do on the ovals and build on this.
And you sounded very sad that you weren't going to be able to do a burnout. And it sounded like they were going to let you, but I guess you didn't. So do you feel like you've missed something not doing a burnout?
No, it's all good. You know, I think, Yeah, I mean, burnouts are cool, but everyone does it. So, you know, it's the cool thing is getting your trademark celebration. And, you know, I need to keep winning some more so that I can build that trademark celebration, whatever it is. So, you know, they didn't want me to do a burnout. So, you know, I didn't want to force the issue there.
Thank you.
All righty. And we have also been joined here by Coach Joe Gibbs. Coach, thank you for taking some time to join us two nights in a row. So welcome back. We're going to take some questions for the media for both of you. So we'll just continue on and we will go to Mark Garrett with PRN. Go ahead, Mark.
I have one for Christopher and one for the coach. Christopher, everybody, the other drivers we've heard feedback from after the race have felt pretty good that you would win. win this season, but they're totally surprised it's a road course. How about you? Are you surprised that this win has come early and it's come on a road course?
You know, Mark, after last year, I'd say that I'm not overly shocked. To win the first road course of the year is quite surprising. But, you know, last year the road courses were not my best finishes, but speed wise, I was really fast at both of them. So I certainly knew that we would be in contention or, you know, at least competitive today. Winning, I probably didn't see that one coming, but I thought that we were going to be in contention.
And Coach, how do you feel now with not only do you get back-to-back wins on the weekend, but it obviously looks like you've reloaded with young drivers who can get the job done. How does that make you feel as a car owner?
No, for us, it's a huge deal for us. As you guys know, the talent and to have Christopher, everything that he kind of fought through last year and then to come back this year. When you think about it, our Christopher got in that car last year and never made a lap. It was going to racetracks. You know, it was a lot to overcome. And he did show speed at a number of racetracks there. So it was great to him to get that victory. It was great for Ream, our sponsor, JR and Chris, everybody down there, and for us with Stanley Black & Decker, Jim Lurie and Tony Merritt and all the guys up there. So it's always a huge deal for us. As you know, in our sport, the sponsors are more than sponsors, they're partners. And it's a huge deal when you get a chance to get a win. And to have Christopher already in the playoffs, it's a big deal for us, for sure. It's hard to do, but put it that way.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Chris Estrada. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you. Christopher, congratulations. First wins are obviously always special, but how is this enhanced by the way you did it and in passing one of the sport's top stars in Joey Logano to pull it off?
Yeah, Chris, it's a dream come true, man. To win my first race at a road course is, you know, I didn't expect that to happen. And I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for the guys that are good at road racing because I feel like it showcases talent, you know, the cars, especially here today, you know, we had the low downforce package. So they're slipping, they're sliding. You're kind of, you know, riding the car more than you're driving the car. So it was just surreal, man, to be as competitive as we were today. I felt like I went toe to toe with Chase Elliott and we were pretty equal there. So that was really cool. Chase is the benchmark for road racing at the moment. And I feel like we're close. My group is close. Whenever I say we're, I mean my group, my crew chief, my car, my team.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Christopher, obviously, you know, throughout the course of your career on very many different kinds of tracks and cars, you've been in winning situations a lot. So how did the nerves, you know, or anxiousness or butterflies, if you had any, compare to other times in your career in those final laps?
Yeah, it's I honestly was able to stay pretty calm and, you know, I'm proud of myself for doing that because it's hard to do. And especially at a road course where you have so many heavy braking zones and there's plenty of opportunities to make a mistake. But I would say that this was equal to my, my first Chili Bowl whenever I've been in that position so many times and I was anxious and nervous and just focusing on hitting my marks. So it was definitely there, but I was thankful that I was able to pull it off and not make a mistake.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Lee Spencer.
Congratulations, Christopher. Just wondering, you know, you were talking about Chase being the class of the field, but did you learn anything being behind him as many laps as you followed him today?
Yeah, I'd say that I at least learned where I was good and where he was good at. And I feel like I was pretty competitive with him. We were pretty equal everywhere except, you know, a certain part on the racetrack, and he was really fast through there. So, you know, Lee, this is a very special win for me, and really proud to be able to be at Joe Gibbs Racing. This is a huge opportunity to be in a powerhouse team like this. And, you know, just can't say thank you enough to Coach and Reem and Stanley Black and Decker for the opportunity to drive one of the best cars in the sport.
Not to take anything away from Levine, but can you tell a significant difference between the equipment you're in right now?
You know, we had a lot of speed at certain places at LFR last year. If you look at the road courses in particular, I was really fast there, and we just had issues. You know, we just could not get off of pit road and maintain our positions. So we would always lose track position somehow, some way, and then you're back in the hornet's nest. And I think out of the 30, however many races, I bet you we had damage 20 plus times. And that's just because you get put in the back so many times and you get run over. Or you get beat around. So it just, we didn't have, I don't know. We just didn't have all the pieces of the puzzle. And now at JGR, I'm very thankful that we do.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from David Smith.
Hey, Christopher, what have you done either personally or through JGR or TRD to improve your road racing acumen from where it was when you entered the NASCAR national level to where you are literally sitting right now?
Yeah, David. So I would say the biggest thing is just seat time. Growing up dirt track racing, I didn't even know what a right-hand corner looked like before I got in the truck series. And then we went to Canada. And before I went to Canada, Toyota gave me the opportunity to run. I ran an ARCA race in New Jersey. And then I guess that was about it. I went to New Jersey with ARCA car, and then the two Mosport races and between the 2 years. And then, you know, I didn't love road course racing at the time. I wasn't exceptional at it, but I didn't suck at it, but I just didn't care for it. And then moving into Xfinity, I think we had three or four, maybe five road course races during the course of the year. So you're just going to have to get good at it and just seat time doing it. I actually did a couple Trans Am tests and worked with Michael Self, and, you know, he's a very good road racer and knows he knows road racing in and out. So thank you to Michael for coaching me. And, you know, I would say that he's been a part of this success as well.
And interesting that two of NASCAR's greatest road course racers ever are Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart, who have the same background as you do. Is there anything that you notice either, you know, tangible or something off the track that translates from USAC dirt racing to NASCAR road racing?
Yeah, I definitely think dirt racing is very beneficial for road racing, because whenever you go road racing, you're always kind of at the limit of the car, and you're sliding around, you're slipping, and it's all about getting the most out of your equipment in every corner. And I think dirt racing teaches you the car control of, you know, how to pick up little bits of speed here and there, and, you know, just being unorthodox about it in some places, and, you know, I enjoy it. And I definitely think dirt racing gives you the skill set needed to be a good racer or good road racer.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Christopher, certainly a big change from last week to this week. And I'm just curious, from your perspective with the incident last week, how you worked through that and how you build up the confidence going back into this week, and just kind of the difference in 1 week's time for you.
I mean, Dustin, that's speedway racing, you know? So it's that's the name of the game. You go out there and you're in a pack and you're at the mercy of the cars around you. And you know, you're, I mean, if one guy wrecks, then the whole field's in it. So I've gotten wrecked, I would say 75% of the speedway races in my career. And, you know, fortunately I haven't been on the other side of it until last week. So, you know, I felt terrible. I, you know, wanted to crawl into a hole after, you know, the rain delay and stuff, but you know, it's speedway racing and it is what it is. You know, one car getting turned or wrecking just creates a big old mess. But yeah, I was really excited to get away from pack racing and get back to racing the racetrack and trying to go as fast as you can.
You also talked in the off season, you said, you know, your goal for this year was you want to be a factor in the races. And you noted that there would be times that, you know, your folks would call you and ask how your race was because you just weren't on the television screen as much. Have you had the opportunity to talk with your family, your parents at this point yet? And if so, what have you guys kind of said, or has it just been more yelling and screaming into the phone at this point?
Yeah, I haven't got to my phone yet, so I haven't heard from them, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing them and, you know, hopefully they can get out to a race here pretty quick.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Coach. I'm wondering how you're feeling after these two wins.
Well, I'm elated, to tell you the truth. Just a huge weekend for us, and there's so many positives to it. Excited for Christopher, and he talked about Stanley Black & Decker, our sponsor that's been with us now for 7 years, and then Rheem, JR and all the people at Rheem. It's so important for us and our sponsors. We got Christopher to talk to both CEOs, actually Chris Peel is the CEO at Rheem. JR is the chairman of the board. But it's just huge for our sponsors. It's huge for us. It's great to have Christopher making a statement. And that's a huge deal for us. To be in the playoffs already with him is a big deal. And so I'm thrilled, to be quite truthful.
What's it say for JJR's future with these two wins?
Well, I think young talent is very important. And we know that we got three veteran guys and they're performing great. I don't see any of those guys at a point where they want to quit racing. They're making it happen. And at one point tonight in the race, we had all four of our guys up in the top 10. And so I felt good about that, but road racing is taking on a new importance in NASCAR. We're now going to be going to 6 tracks this year. And so it's a huge deal for us to step up and improve. And I felt like that's what happened tonight.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Matt Weaver. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi there. Hey, Christopher. Thank you for taking time here after this big win. David Smith had actually asked my initial question, but let me ask you this instead. As we look towards the future and NASCAR moving more towards road racing, maybe a street course mixed in the future as well, it's not entirely what you thought you would be doing when you went on the path to NASCAR, but do you feel like you're poised to continue having this kind of success even with more road races, especially after getting this first win at the Cup Series on a road course?
Yeah, Matt, it's tough. I enjoy road racing because I think it's very difficult, and racing the racetrack, producing lap time, seeing who's fast at it is very rewarding. And it's very, you know, it's real, right? If you go out there and run well at a road course, that's real. But on the flip side, you know, whenever you get restarts and everyone's boxed up and just running into each other, that's the side of road course racing that I don't love. Just being at the mercy of everyone else, it almost gets a little bit super speedway-ish on those restarts. It's a ton of fun whenever you finally get strung out and you can race the racetrack to try and make lap time and set up passes, and you know, you're sliding around, you're really out of control the majority of the time, you're just hanging on. So I love road course racing from that aspect, but I just hate the it's so easy to get caught up in other people's mess. It's so easy for guys to poke you and spin you out, and so it's a love-hate relationship for me.
10-4. Thanks, man.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jerry Jordan. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Christopher, congratulations on the win. When did it click with you that you were not only catching Joey, but you could pass him and will likely take the lead? And how hard was it for you to do the right things in the car so that you didn't make the mistakes that you were worried about?
Yeah, Jerry, I remember watching Chase Elliott win. I believe Chase won his first race at Watkins Glen. Is that correct? Anybody? Well,
yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I remember watching that race, and Chase Elliott won his first race at Watkins Glen, and I believe Truex was behind him. And I remember saying that this is the test right here. You know, how mentally tough is Chase? Will he be able to stand the pressure of the best road racer taking him on? And Chase did. You know, he was able to hit his marks for however many laps and win the race. So, you know, I thought that was really cool and gave me a lot of respect for Chase. And I've always put a lot of pride into my mental strength aspect as well. I feel like I've, matured a lot over the course of the years and been put in positions of high pressure moments. And today was definitely one of them, trying to run down the 22. But aside from winning the race, I didn't really know that I was going to get there. Adam on the radio kept telling me that, you know, just keep doing what you're doing and you might get there. So I just was focused on hitting my marks and not overdriving the car. And I think he had a couple moments where he slipped that gave me a lot of time.
Thank you, bud. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thank you, Marissa. Congratulations, Christopher. I've got one for you and then one for the coach. And actually, Coach Gibbs used the word that I'll ask you about. He called it a statement. Christopher, do you call this a statement victory as well for your career and your season?
I don't know. I'd say that's more for other people to say than me. But, I knew going to Joe Gibbs Racing that this is my time. I'm either going to put up or shut up. And I'm very grateful for the how it's played out so far between the first 2 weeks. So it's a dream come true to be able to drive for the coach and to have all of our great partners at Ream, Stanley Black & Decker, Pristine Options. So, you know, those guys are who made it happen. And I just want so bad to be in this number 20 car for the rest of my career. And, you know, I need to perform well to do that. So I just got to stay after it.
And Coach Gibbs, I didn't get the chance to ask you this last night, obviously with Ty winning, now Christopher winning, it's been a really good weekend for your young stars. And I know for so long that JD was a big part of that. It's been a tough last couple of years, but what does this weekend do for the family? And what do you think JD might say about the last 2 days between Ty and Christopher doing what they've done?
It's interesting that you mentioned that. And this is JD's birthday today, and our family back home is celebrating it. And there's not a day goes by that I don't think about him. And of course, any parent or grandparent out there would know what it feels like when you have that heartbreak. But JD spent his whole occupational life building our race team. And so I think he's getting a full view of it right now. And I think he's loving it. And we sure miss him. I think everybody at Joe Gibbs Racing misses him, and a lot of other people in our sport have been so great. All the letters, all the responses, all the phone calls and the texts that we've got honoring JD has been fantastic. Anybody out there wants to go to his website, jdgibbslegacy.com, we're really excited. We just passed 9 million people have gone to that website, 9 million people. And I think a lot of them said that it's impacted their lives, and JD's life is impacted, I think, a lot of people. He was very much a people person. He certainly cared about our race team and our people there.
Thank you, Coach. Congratulations, both of you.
You bet.
All right, we'll take our next one from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Christopher, congratulations on the win. I was listening to your radio as you're coming across the start finish line, and I was expecting you to go crazy over the radio, just be all excited and everything. And this, and I got like, you were so subdued. I mean, like, just incredibly thankful. And I just was wondering, like, man, has this sunk in yet that he's a cup winner? Or can you talk about that as you're crossing the start finish line?
Yeah, Chris, it's interesting. I didn't really, I was just trying to soak in the moment, you know, trying to cherish it. And it's definitely different here in 2021 and 2020 as well. So, you know, it was a shame that my wife wasn't able to be here to celebrate with us, or, you know, even the team being able to come up and take team pictures, and all the emotion and victory lane has completely changed. So I hope that we get to get back to a little bit closer to normal here pretty quick, where we can, you know, celebrate these moments together more. It sucks not having your team by your side to, you know, throw water on you.
Great. Thanks. Congrats.
All right. Well, we're going to coach head out, and thank you so much for taking some more time with us today. Christopher, we're going to have you stick around for a couple more questions from our media, but I know coach has some other obligations. So we thank you so much and congratulations on another victory.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody out there in the media and our fans. Thank you for all your support of our sport.
Thank you. All right. And I'm going to spotlight Christopher here with some more questions for him. Chris Knight, did you have another one? I didn't mean to cut you off if I did.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. So we're going to take our next question from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Christopher, congratulations on this victory. I'm curious, from how humbling last year was to this peak moment today, what has this journey been like for you? I know a lot of cup drivers find when they get to this level, they may not win as regularly as they became accustomed to in prior series. So was that ever a concern for you? And just what has this journey been like to get to this moment?
Yeah, I mean, just the highs and lows. And, you know, last year was very, very disheartening for me. And I mentioned that before, I think, on this call. Like, aside from the NASCAR side, which I knew going into the Cup Series is going to be very difficult. But even on the dirt side, I didn't win outside of January at the Chili Bowl. So that was very disappointing. And you know, you start doubting yourself. You're wondering if you can do this and if you're capable of it. And, you know, last year I had glimpses. And I look back at, for example, the Daytona Road Course last year. I finished horrible. I got caught up in a bunch of wrecks and I spun out a couple times and I ran in the back of Kevin Harvick once. But we were really fast. I think I had a top five lap time in the race. So we had glimpses of being fast. It just didn't come together last year. And man, I'm proud that it came together this year.
One more question for you. How validating is this moment then for you personally? You know, coupled with that, comes there was some criticism fairly unfairly for your move to this 20 car. What does this victory do, if anything, in your opinion, to validate the team's decision to move you into this car?
I don't know. I'm just very thankful for the opportunity, very grateful for the opportunity, and it's unbelievable to be here and to be able to win this early, you know, and I wouldn't be in this 20 car without great partners like Ream, Stanley Black & Decker, Pristine Auctions. So those, and Toyota and TRD as well. So without sponsors, without partners, there is no racing. So it's a dream come true to be here. And, you know, I just want to be here for the rest of my life. And to do that, you have to have sponsors. So I hope that, I just hope to be here for the rest of my career.
Thanks very much and congrats again.
Thank you.
Take our next question from Michael Shelton. Go ahead.
Yes, Christopher, congratulations on the victory. And you were talking about sponsors and Toyota. Considering that last season was considered a disappointment for Toyota after the dominant year it had in 2018, what does this mean for you to pick up the victory for your team and for Toyota? And how much momentum does this give you and the rest of your teammates moving forward?
Yeah, thank you, Michael. So I would say that this is a huge moment for Toyota. It's really cool to be able to get their first win of the season. That's really cool. You know, I have an all-star cast of teammates between Denny Martin and Kyle. So those are three of the greats in the sport, and it's going to be tough to keep up with them, but to be able to beat them to victory lane is pretty cool. So hopefully we can keep it up. We know that all three of those are going to hit victory lane at some point and hit victory lane often. So it's going to be hard to keep up with them, but we're off to a pretty good start so far.
Have you heard from your teammates since I know it's short, but have you heard from your teammates yet? And what did they say to you following your win?
Yeah, Denny drove up beside me, and I guess that was his congratulations to me, but I haven't seen my phone yet. So I don't know if they've reached out or not.
All right, congratulations. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Oh. All right, we'll take our next one from Stephen Conley. Go ahead. Stephen, we can't hear you. I'm not sure. All right, we'll take someone else. And Stephen, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I think I should have you now. There we go.
Okay, we can hear you. Yep.
All right. Sorry about that, Christopher. I would say about next week. I know we may not get the chance to talk to you before Homestead. Three out of the last four races at Homestead have been won by your teammates. You're coming off this win. There's a lot of talk always about the dirt guys running well down there. Do you have any expectations, and are they a little bit higher now coming off of this win going into Homestead?
Yes, Stephen. I ran Homestead was one of my best races last year. So it's definitely one that I have circled on the calendar to potentially run well at. So we definitely expect to be competitive nonetheless. And definitely going from Homestead to Vegas should be, it has the potential to be two good races for us. So I'm looking forward to it.
Is this stretch of the season one more that you're maybe looking a little bit more forward to, getting out of the speedway tracks and the road courses and get a little break from that?
Yeah, I mean, speedway racing has definitely not been my favorite. So getting through Daytona one was very glad to move on from that. But road racing has definitely become, you know, a little bit of a new normal and a big part of the schedule. So I'm not really opposed to road racing. I like it today, so we'll see how that feels whenever we go to the next one. But Homestead Vegas will be a good tell because mile and a halves are a big part of the schedule, but you have to be good everywhere. And I think that we have the opportunity to be good everywhere.
Thank you.
All right, Christopher. Well, that's all the time we've got. So thank you so much for taking some time to join us, and congratulations on the win. I hope you get to go home to your wife and really enjoy it. And we will see you next week at Homestead Miami Speedway.
Thank you. See you guys.
Thank you. Alrighty. And to all of the media, I apologize for not being able to get to all of the questions. It's just all the time we had our winner. As a reminder, I'll have all of the audio, video, and transcripts from this up on NASCARmedia.com shortly. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. Thank you guys.